When Brother Brett called me about 11:30 Friday morning, my first thought was what Gomer Pyle said to Sergeant Carter in one of the episodes. Surprise, surprise, surprise. When I shared with Brother Larry a while ago, when Lydia and I first joined here about 6 months ago, my mission here, after being in the other church for so long, was just to sit for a while and get comfortable. You know, and just hear the word and just react to it. And I was also sharing with Brother Larry for 2 years, the Lord tried to move us. Tried to move us here. And for 2 years, I fought it. And I just kept saying, Lord, you're making a mistake. You know, you don't want us there. And he kept saying, yeah, I really do. So push come to shove, I finally, you know, allowed the Lord to speak to my heart like I should have at the first time. And I wouldn't have been miserable for 2 years. But when we got here, you know, Brother Brett and I had a long talk about some things, and I have been involved in filling in like this for quite a while. But he said there may be a day that I ask you to fill in, and I said that's fine. Just don't make it very quick. Well, we've been here 6 months, but you'll see today that I'm a hand user. I can't talk without my hands. And you'll also see that I'm a walker. I can't stay still. That's my nature. I woke up this morning at 4 o'clock going over this message, not because I was nervous, but because I was anxious. Anytime I get a chance to share the gospel, I want to do it. I don't care where the setting's at, I want to do it. And when we, as individual believers, get the opportunity to present this word, folks, take it. Take it. Never pass up an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you never, never know what you say and how you say it is going to affect somebody. I promise you, beyond any shadow or any reasonable doubt, there is someone here today that needs to hear what God has in store for us. Not because I'm bringing it, but because it's the Lord's word. And he promised me, and he promised Brother Larry and Brother Brett and all of us that do this, that his word will never return void. And it will not. I would like this morning, first of all, to start out in the book of Proverbs. That is not going to be my scripture per se, but it is my scripture. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. I'm going to read the first 6 verses. And verse 6 is the verse that I want you and I to mostly train our hearts on today. Proverbs chapter 22, the first 6 verses. Says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man seeketh the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are the way of the froward, but he that doth keep the soul shall be far from them. Now, verse 6 is the verse that I really want us to train our minds on today, because this is where we'll go in Scripture. Train up a child in the way of the Lord when they are young, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen. I can remember, as a child, going to church. My folks did not always go with me. but they always made sure that I went. And I promise you, when the day came, when the Lord convicted my heart that I was truly a sinner and needed saved, I thought back to the experiences of all the times that my family sent me to church. And you know how I sat through all those sermons and just kept rejecting. And finally, the Lord just spoke to my heart and I accepted the gospel. Our passage today will basically come out of chapter 15 of the book of Luke. A parable, a story. You know, the Bible is just, it's just full of so many great stories. And you know, what I've learned in reading the Bible, and what I learn every day that I read it, and do I read it every day? No. I should? Yes. I don't. Be the first to admit that. But you know, when I read certain passages of Scripture, I see little dots where it stops. I see commas where it stops. I see question marks where it stops. And all those have a specific meaning within the Scripture. When the Lord inspired the men to write this book, He inspired every dot that was put on an I, every T that was crossed, every question mark that was put in there. The Lord inspired it. And He inspired it for a reason. Our study today is basically chapter 15 of Luke, verses 11. We'll probably go down through maybe probably verse 20. A very familiar passage of Scripture about the prodigal son. Now, those of you that are parents and have older children now, and have children that are now growing up, know exactly how important it is to do what Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 said. Train up a child in the way of the Lord when they're young, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. I am living proof of that. That if your parent sends you to church and you hear the gospel enough, it will affect your life. You know, the true emphasis here on these verses I'm going to talk about, it is to a certain degree about the son, but it's actually more about the father and about the father's reaction to what the son did. And how, you know, and we will see later on in the passage how how the father waited for the son, waited for his return, never gave up hope, always hoped that the son would come back. We will see that the younger son exploded into rebellion. You know, folks, he knew what he wanted. His desire was to just be on his own. I remember when I was 15 years old, I told my dad one day, I said, you know what, Dad? I'm tired of living at home. I want to leave. I was 15. And my dad said, okay, son, no problem. I'll help you pack your bags. He did. I packed a little gym bag type thing with a couple pair of gym trunks in it, a couple pair of underwear and two shirts and two pair of socks, and down the road I went. And I heard Dad tell Mom when I walked out the door, when he gets hungry, he'll be back. So I left about 8:30 that morning. About 9 that night, I come knocking on the door because Dad locked the door. And when he opened the door, he said, what's the matter, son? You hungry? I said, yeah, Daddy, I'm hungry. Son, come on in. Never said a harsh word to me. Taught me one Bible lesson. He never gave up on me. He knew I was wrong in what I was doing. He never gave up. And we will see today through the Scripture that although this father gives his son his inheritance, a third of which what he was supposed to get, he got. And although, yes, he does go out and he does spend it, we will see the end result is that the father never gives up on him. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ never gives up on us. Just like the Heavenly Father waits for us. And when that call comes into your spirit, when that knocking on your heart's door is there today, my most important thing to you through all this today is, if he knocks, answer. He answers. He answers. We will see today through this short passage of Scripture that I'm going to read that the son does rebel. He does go into a wayward land. And he spends everything that he has. Let's get into it real quick. Let's read. We'll start in verse 11. Now, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Now, normally in this particular setting, the sons didn't ask for what they were supposed to get until the father could no longer take care of the estate. But you notice here that the father never questions why the son wants the money. Never questions him. He willfully gives it to him. And I'm not an absolute authority on this, but I would guess that he gave it to him thinking, hoping that maybe something I've taught him will teach him how to spend his money well. We will see he didn't. Verse 13 says, and not many days after the younger man gathered together and all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So that tells us right away that once he got his money, he couldn't wait to get out of the house. Just like I was at 15, I couldn't wait to get out of the house. Well, I'll tell you what, folks, I couldn't wait to get home. I can tell you that. I could not wait to get home because there's literally, folks, nothing worse than being hungry. You know, I hadn't eaten all day. And my guess is the young man was in such a hurry to leave, he probably never even ate before he left. He just left. He wanted to be on his own. You know, and there's, as parents, all you can do once you release them is pray that they make the right decisions. This was a decision that he did not make properly. You know, it says here in verse 13 that he took a far journey. You notice that the kid, he didn't stay close to home. He wandered far away. Folks, let me tell you something. When you are far away from the living God, you are hungry. You're spiritually hungry. And it's much worse to be spiritually hungry than it will ever be to be physically hungry. Because physical hunger only lasts for a little while. And you can fill your belly with food and be satisfied for a little while. Folks, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you are satisfied forever. You know, Jesus tells us, he says, come drink from the fountain that never runs dry. And that is exactly what this message today is about. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. It's about the Father's love for the Son. It's about the love that Jesus Christ has for us. It's about his willingness to forgive us even though we go wayward. It's about the fact that he forgives. And you know what's most important about that, folks? He forgets. Scripture tells us that he sends our sins as far as the east is from the west. In other words, folks, you can't measure it. You know, I'll tell you what. You want to measure God's love. Here's how you measure it. How much did he love us? The scripture tells us that he stretched out his arms and he died for us. He died on a cruel cross. He died on a cruel cross for the prodigal son. The father gave his son that which he wanted. And it says that he took it and he wasted everything that he had on riotous living. Folks, I'll have to admit to you, there is a special thing about sin. And that special thing is, it's very, very alluring. There is, you know, and I think each of us that have been there, before we were born again believers, there is absolute temporary joy in sin. There is temporary joy in sin. You know, when we are out as Christians, when we are outside of the will of God, and we know that we are outside the will of God, there might be that joy for a season. But folks, it always comes back to the fact that if you belong to Christ, He will draw you back in. He will draw you back in. And a lot of times it takes a major catastrophe to draw you back in. That's pretty much what happened here to the prodigal son. You know, he spent, from what the scripture tells me here, folks, and what I read, it says that when he took his journey, in verse 13 again, it says, and when he took his journey in a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living, that tells me he spent that money pretty quick. You know, folks, I can remember, gosh, this awaits me. I can, you guys call it soda, I call it pop. I'm still a Yankee. I remember when pop was a nickel a bottle. A nickel a bottle, and you could get 3 cents back when you turned it back in. I thought I was one rich man. You give me a quarter, I was rich. But he spent his money very quickly. And look what happens to him in verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Folks, when you are outside the will of God, you have a famine in your soul. There's a famine in your soul. And the only way that you can fill that thirst is to go to the one who is the fountain of life. And that's Jesus Christ. You know, the younger son, when he got his money, he never even thought about next week. All he cared about was today. And folks, that's exactly the way sin is. Sin only cares about today. It doesn't care about the hereafter. It doesn't care about the afterthought of tomorrow. All sin does, it wants to please for the moment. And here again, that's what sin does, folks. It pleases for the moment. It has its alluring attributes. It really, really does. I like I get on my neighbor's tractor quite a bit and do land for him. And when I'm on his shredder, I get these crazy thoughts in my head. And I carry a pencil and a paper on the tractor with me. And I'll stop a tractor and I write down thoughts. I wrote down these things. This is what the prodigal son did. Here are types of lostness that is very obvious to us. He is not at home, he is in a far country. Listen to this now. He is not a worker, he's a wanter. He's a wanter. He's not lifting up, folks. He's dragging down. He's dragging down. I really like the last one. He's not creating, folks. He's destroying. And he's destroying his own soul. Folks, if you're outside of Christ, you're destroying your soul. He went away to the far country for one reason, and that was to satisfy himself and himself alone. He had no thought about anything else except reaching his own goals. It says he wasted his substance on riotous living. He took the gifts that his father bestowed upon him and spent them in that far country without making provision for leaner days and the ultimate need of life. Folks, when we are out in sin and we are living for the moment, we never consider the future. We must always consider the future in everything that we do. You know, no man is capable of living a life outside Christ and making something of himself. There is no possible way to make anything of yourself outside of Christ. It is only in Him and through Him and by Him that we have what we have and that we are what we are. He gives us the substance of life. He gives us and fulfills the needs that we have in life. Each of us in this congregation this morning can stand and testify of the needs in our lives that God has fulfilled. Amen. You know, each of us can stand, that are born-again believers, can stand and give reason why we believe what we believe. You know, when I look at the prodigal son and how he absolutely, positively took away from the father, from his father, and took the gifts that his father had given him and used them in such a destructive manner, you know, it just makes you wonder, why didn't the father just give up on him? Because, you know, he had to know when that son left that it'd be trouble. You know, because, you know, it just says the younger son. So it really doesn't give his age, but my guess is he's probably a pretty young fella. And he really hasn't, you know, he hasn't really had much time to think about things. It says here that in verse 15, I like verse 15, it says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and went into the fields to feed his swine." Now, what I understand about Jewish history, I read in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, where it talked about, as a Jew, you were not to even mess with the pigs because that was unclean. And look at the first task that the guy that hires him gives him. Go out and feed the hogs. Now, folks, I'm just country enough. I've fed the hogs. There ain't nothing pleasant about feeding hogs. There ain't nothing they won't eat. There ain't no kind of smell that they got that's enjoyable. So I can imagine when he went to feeding these hogs, his first thought was, "My goodness, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? My goodness, what was I thinking?" You know, it says that he spent all he had and became in want. Folks, when he became in want, it cost him two things. It cost him his fellowship with his father, and it cost him his self-respect. He lost both when he left home. Jeremiah 5:21 says, "Your sins have withheld my bounty from you." Proverbs 28:22-8, "The one who sows injustice will reap disaster. Sow iniquity, reap vanity." I don't know where the scripture's at in Proverbs. I just know it's in Proverbs, where it says, "Vanity is vanity, all is vanity." Folks, what that means is when you set your sights on doing the desires of your own heart, failure's going to happen. I promise you, failure's going to happen. Now we come to the part where is the most important part of this morning's scripture. There are things that have happened to this poor young man, and everything that's happened to him, folks, he has caused. When things happen to us, folks, we cause them. You know, when we, as born-again believers, file away from the Lord and we go about our own way, there is a penalty to pay for that. There's a price to pay for sin. But there's also a reward when we come to ourselves. And I like this. This is just, every time I read this, this encourages me. I always get encouraged when I read the scripture where it talks about the prodigal son, and it says in verse 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" Folks, he had that moment, didn't he? He had that moment. you know, it clicked in his mind there. Hey, you know what? I've got a dad that really does love me. I have a father that really loves me. And you know what? Before I left, he supplied everything I needed. What's the book of Philippians say? It says that my God shall what? Supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. When the son came to himself, he had that light bulb moment. That light bulb moment in his head, you know, it finally went off and it dawned on him. You know what? I've been a fool. I've been foolish. You know, and he says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He realized that at home he had it pretty good. You know, those of you in this congregation this morning that are young, and to me young is anything under 60 now. But those of you that are of teenage years, probably still in high school, I would admonish you this morning, listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Enjoy the ride while you're home. Because I will promise you, when you get out in the real world, you will find out it is a cruel, cruel world. It is a world that will absolutely, positively just suck you right in and then just spit you right back out. It is a cruel reality that we live in a fallen world. Those of you that are parents, I encourage you to pray for your kids every day and to just show them the way of the Lord every day. Because in Proverbs 22:6 will come in again when it said that if you train that child in the way of the Lord when they're young, when they're old, they won't depart from it. That's why I think that I believe that's why that prodigal son had that light bulb moment in his head. Because his dad had trained him up in the way of the Lord. He had lived the life in front of him. And if you, as parents, live your life of a born-again believer in front of your children, folks, you have a much better chance of them coming to the Lord than if you don't. Because if you, as a parent, live a free life, that's what the child is going to expect to live too. See, when the son came to himself, first of all, you know, of course, he was physically hungry because he was here again. He was even seeing the pigs eat. They were eating better than he was. He had that light bulb moment where he came to himself and realized that in his father's house were many servants, and those servants eat pretty well. And if you eat well, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. And we as Baptists can attribute to that because we love to eat. There's nothing I like better than eating. My wife will tell you that. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have food? They have so much food they can throw food on the floor. And I have nothing. You know, he finally recognized his condition. And then look what he says in verse 18. And this is probably the most important focal passage in this scripture that I see that speaks to my heart. He says, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Folks, he finally got the message, didn't he? He finally got the message. You know what? The best thing for me to do? Run home. Let me get back there just as quick as I can. Because the quicker I get back there, the quicker I get fed. But he also, I think, if you really look at this scripture, he also realized how much his father really loved him. Because when we first looked at this, it's these first few verses. When the father gave him the part of his inheritance, the father never questioned why he wanted it. And you don't see it anywhere where it says the father told him how to spend it. He just gave it to him. You know, he gave him his inheritance and trusted that his son would do the right thing. He says, I will arise and go to my father. I will never stop, he declares, until I see him face to face. He wants to be reunited with his father. And it's such a great verse of reconciliation. You know, it's such a great verse of him coming to himself, of him realizing his sin, of him realizing his failure, of him realizing that outside of the Father's comfort, he doesn't have life. And folks, as born-again believers, when we're outside of our Father's comfort, we don't have comfort. Scripture says, folks, there is joy in the Lord. It says there is joy in those that follow him, those that know him personally as their Savior. There's joy in that. And you're going to see in a couple minutes here the reaction of the Father. And when you see the reaction of the Father, it is probably the most prolific illustration of the love of God that I have ever read in the Scripture. You know, when he came, and he came to himself, and he said, I will go back to my father. And in verse 19, he said, I will tell him, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as well as one of your hired servants. You know, the son realized the fact that he had failed the father, and that all he wanted to do was just be back in the fold again. Folks, there's nothing like being in the family fold. There's nothing better than being in the Christian family fold. You know, we as believers have such a distinct relationship with one another. You know, there are things that we can talk about with one another that we can't even talk about with our own families. You know why it's so hard to witness to members of your own family? I found this out a long time ago, and I think this will be a testament of the truth of it. Because they know our faults. Our families know our faults, don't they? But you know what, folks? Jesus knows your faults too. But you know what's more important? Jesus will forgive those faults. He will forgive those faults, and he'll restore you. Look what he says in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. And this is the part that this part of the scripture just blows me away. When I read this and when I thought about this, folks, I literally got tears in my eyes when I read this. It says, but when he was yet a great way off, folks, I can still see the father out there in the lane waiting on his son to come back. I can see it. And, you know, and I'll bet you every day he was telling his servants, today's the day. He's going to come back today. I just know he is. He's coming back. I know he is. You know why? Because I raised him right. I trained him in the way of the Lord when he was young. Amen. He's going to eventually come back. I promise he's going to come back. And I can see him telling his hired servants that. And I can see him waiting out there a great way off. And look what it says he did. It says that while he was a great way off, he said the father saw him and ran to him. He didn't wait on him. The father went to him. He couldn't wait to see his son. He couldn't wait to embrace him and kiss him. He couldn't wait to restore that fellowship with him. Folks, that's the very picture that God has for us. The very picture. That's the best picture illustration I have ever seen of the living God and his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. He waits for us. He runs to us. You know, when the father saw the son coming, I'll bet you his face got that big. He said, man, he came back. I knew he was coming. I knew he'd come back. And he went and he embraced that son. And he kissed his neck. And he just, you know, the father just lost it. Because you know what, folks? That which was lost was now found. It was found. You know, and the father said, sinner, come home. I love you. Come home. Folks, that's the message that the Lord Jesus has given to us today. Sinner, come home because I love you. I died for you. I gave all that I had for you. Matter of fact, I gave the very best that heaven had to offer for you. I gave you my only begotten Son to die on a cruel Calvary cross for your salvation, so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, when we as believers, those that belong to God, come back in the fold, there is so much happiness in heaven. You know, when the scripture tells us that when someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, it says the angels in heaven rejoice. Folks, there is nothing better than seeing someone come to know Christ. There is absolute no better feeling you'll ever get in your heart than having the joy of the salvation that Jesus Christ offers us. The Son eventually learned his lesson. After riotous living and living for himself, Scripture says that he came to himself. And he realized that without fellowship with his father and family, he had nothing. But he realized with his father and family, he had everything that he needed. Folks, I present to you this morning, those of you that do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I present him to you this morning, promising you on what the authority of this word tells me, that if you come to him, he will in no wise cast you out. Amen. When we come to him on his terms, must be his turn, folks. Spirit says, if the Spirit calls, need to answer. Listen to what Psalms 103, 11 and 12 says. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his faithful love to those who fear him. He will cast your far, folks, as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Folks, when you come to know Christ, sins are gone. Forgiven forever. I have debates. I guess they're more like arguments. I call them debates with friends of mine that they are a different persuasion of religion. They don't believe once saved, always saved. Folks, I do. Jesus tells me in his word, he says, if you come to me, nothing can pluck you out of my hand. I say that to say this, folks. What good is a Savior that can't keep you? What good is a salvation to believe in if you can't believe in it and it can't keep you? Folks, I promise you on authority of what this word says, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior have a very calm assurance of who we are and what we are in Christ. When this book tells me that Satan can't pluck me out of the Lord's hands, he can't pluck me out. Now, I'll tell you what, folks, I promise you one thing. He can make me very uncomfortable and does at times. Tell you what, if you're looking for the perfect Christian in me, you're looking at the wrong person, because I'm far from that. I am just like everybody in this room. I am a sinner saved by grace. That's all I'll ever be in this life, is a sinner saved by grace. But you know what? That's also all you will ever be in this life, is a sinner saved by grace. This morning, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not only would I ask, but I would almost humbly beg that you consider that if the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, that you would give in to that Spirit. Because I promise you, it will be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Because, folks, I promise each of you one thing. We will all spend eternity somewhere. Every person that has ever took a breath of life throughout all creation is spending eternity somewhere. And you will be no different. And I will be no different. We will each stand before the Lord and give an account. Now, you will either give an account to the fact that you belong to God and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're saved forever, or you're lost forever. The choice is yours. The prodigal son this morning in our story came to himself. I would ask you this morning to come to yourself. Let that light go off in your head and realize the fact that without Christ, you're lost. And that only by coming to know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior. And folks, it has to be a personal account. Brother Larry can't speak for you. I can't. Brother West, none of us can speak for you. Only you can speak for you. And folks, I promise you, you will either bow now or you will bow later. But the Scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So folks, the choice is yours this morning. Those of us that have made it know what a joyous feeling it is. And you know what? That's what we want for you. We want you to have that joyous feeling that we have. And that's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that y'all stand, please. And every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Paul, would you please come and get ready to lead us in an infant song invitation. With your eyes closed. Nobody moving around. This morning, if this is as bad as eternity can get for you, and I promise you, without Christ, it will be a lot worse than this. But with your eyes closed and your thoughts to yourself, can you actually sit there and say to yourself, you know what? I can spend eternity like this. Can you spend eternity with your eyes shut in total darkness? Because, folks, that's how it's going to be. You will be in total darkness. Because without Christ, you are in total darkness. Now, if eternity is no worse than that, can you live with that? Because you know what? I knew for a fact that I couldn't. And I'm have a pretty much of an assurance you can't either. Brother Paul, please come and lead us. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, as Brother Paul comes to lead the music. Father, we pray for those this morning that, first of all, that need to come to know you personally as their Savior. Father, we've done what you've asked this morning. Father, we've proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray now for that one that has a decision to make this morning. Father, that one that is here that has never accepted Christ as their Savior. Oh, Father, what a great day it would be for them, for us as the church to welcome them. Father, I pray that your Spirit moves on their hearts right now. That, Father, in the silence of the moment, if eternity is no worse than this, just having our eyes closed for all eternity and not being able to see anything but darkness, Father, I pray that they realize that there's darkness in their soul and that they need to come to you, the light of life, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask now that as we sing a song of invitation, Father, I pray that you give them boldness to step out. As our deacons stand forward, Lord, ready to meet and greet them and show them the way of salvation. Father, I pray that you give them strength, give them courage through the presence of your Holy Spirit in their life to lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for it's in your name that we ask it all. Amen and amen.
But that